B-Pod Studios.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
And hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good afternoon and welcome to Paul Brown Stadium in downtown Cincinnati for an encounter of the 10-3 New England Patriots and the 1-12 Cincinnati Bengals, who take the field along the banks of the Ohio River.
Every week we try to prepare to play our best on Sunday.
Brady screams it left for James White. He's got to beat the defender with a block from Kelly across the 20, past the 15-10, to the 5, White into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Absolutely beautiful play design here.
Up by Bailey with 1:45 to go, and they nearly get to it with a punt at the 25, and he dropped it. He dropped it.
Slater.
The ball loose at the 23. Matthew Slater was downfield first for the Patriots at the bottom of the file for possession.
Wow. Slater and wins.
Recovery by the Patriots. Brady takes the snap, backs up, looks left, now scans back to the middle, directing traffic, pressure, throws to the back of the end.
Yeah.
Caught by Haley. Diving catch. Touchdown, Patriots.
Time.
Dalton takes the step, fires to the right, pass to be intercepted by Gilmore. Goodbye. Gone to the 50, left sideline 40, to the 30. Stephon Gilmore to the 10, en route to his second pick six of the season. Touchdown, Patriots!
What an angle by Gilmore off this. What a second half start by him here.
Tom drops back, hands it off to Burkhead, runs it to the left side of the 25, cuts it right across the 20 out of a tackle. Rich Burkhead back in Cincinnati for the touchdown, Patriots! Picked off by Stephon Gilmore. He threw right through the man. Gilmore with another interception for the Patriots. It's fifth overall. Dalton takes the shot to step. Backs up, pocket squeezing down. Throws it down the right side. J.C. Jackson there. Leaps to make the interception.
Three.
Comes down inbounds at the 10 in front of Erickson. The Bengals are confused. Dalton stands in, fires a deep ball down the left side. There's some separation, but then Jackson makes up for it. Another interception. Runs it back from the 10 to the 15-20. And J.C. Jackson steps out of bounds at the 25. Patriots about to officially gain entrance to the postseason for the 11th consecutive year. For the 22nd time in 26 seasons under the ownership of Robert Kraft.
Happy we won. I wish we'd always do better. There's always things to improve on even when you win.
Let me take you on an adventure of light and sound.
Imagine what they said before they would play this song live. Ted Johnson, you know him. He is brought to you by Boston Prolotherapy. Do what Ted did and receive a short course of injections to help prepare painful, damaged joints without surgery. Online at bostonprolotherapy.com. He's kind enough to join us every Wednesday in the 7 o'clock hour right here in studio. All right, so...
Can I start with something? Because there was something we saw yesterday. We discussed it a minute ago that I thought was odd. And that was during the press conference, somebody asked Bill Belichick about Stidham and who's the other guy?
Cody
Kessler?
Stid.
Stid. That's right. I called him Stid. I meant Stid. Jay Stid. And so what happened in Bill Belichick's answer, instead of talking about how they've been and how they've been doing, he added... You know, Brady, I forget what the actual phrase was, but it was that, you know, Brady has had to miss some time in practice, or he threw something out there basically saying that he hasn't been doing the things that he normally has been doing in practice and been held out, intimating that he's more hurt than we thought. I want to get the, here it is. He hasn't been able to do a lot this year. And then he talked about the other ones. These guys are ready to go. What did you read out of that? Because Belichick usually doesn't talk about things like that or offer up information that wasn't asked about.
Yeah. No, I was a little bit surprised to hear that. And you can, there's different ways you could maybe interpret that. Maybe it's as if it's just, you know, no big deal. He's just, you know, he's been on injury reports throughout the season, and maybe he's just kind of reminding us of that, or he could be something maybe more than that. It feels like a lot of times with Bill and with Tom that there's a lot of a passive aggressive kind of communicating that goes on. That's really just over the years. You just kind of you have to read between the lines and a lot of what they're trying to say.
Did it all start when they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo
and he made
that comment about something about Tom's age?
Yeah,
like that was, I think, the first time you went, whoa.
Yeah. The first salvo was probably that, right?
Yeah,
and
so,
and from then on, it's just been fun to kind of try and decipher and figure out exactly what they're trying to say. when they don't come out and really say it. So, yeah. You know, some might say that that's Bill taking a shot at Tom. Some people would say that's the only way you can maybe interpret that is in the sense that, you know.
You couldn't interpret it that he's making an excuse for Tom Brady, that he's
trying to cover for him?
Cover for him?
No, that he's saying, like, listen, the guy's been banged up and, you know, so we're getting other guys' reps.
Yeah, no, that's very possible. But that's the whole thing with the Patriots. You never know. You'd almost see it on both sides. You could see him covering for Tom or maybe getting excuses for Tom. You know, maybe taking some of the pressure off of Tom. And then some might say, well, you know, Tom's whole kind of thing with TB12 is to portray this image that you never get, you know, I don't get hurt. All the things I do protects me from having any real injuries, and that's maybe Bill's way of taking a shot at that whole philosophy. So you can look at it either way.
All right. So if Brady when Brady was, say, 5 years younger, I mean, because obviously we've heard it a million times at this time of the year, players are playing hurt. That's just the way that it is. Do you think that the physical issues he have, obviously he has an elbow issue, do you think they're as detrimental to him as they would have been 5 years ago? Like right now, are they worse than they would have been 5 years ago?
I'm not so sure about that. You know, maybe. But the techniques, I mean, the way that you, I think, can rehab and prehab is more advanced than even probably five years ago. But there is something, too, the older you get, maybe things lingering or things being harder on the body than maybe when you were 5 years ago. But I don't know. Guys, when I watch Tom play, I mean, let's face it. This past game was one of his worst games of the season. It might have been his worst game from a statistical standpoint. But, you know, he's still got velocity on the ball. You know, it's just the accuracy that looks like it's the main issue. And that's kind of the thing with this offense. It's very difficult to pinpoint. What is the one thing? I mean, for the most of the season, I think it was the offensive line. I really gave the onus to the offensive line as far as kind of the majority of their problems. But now it's receivers dropping. It's Tom being inaccurate. It's somebody missing a block on the offensive line. It's the ineptitude of the tight end position. It's like a little something here and there each and every play or each and every series, each and every game that maybe is the problem to overall. But I just don't see the elbow. We tend to do this. If Tom's not playing well, what was it last year? If you look at Tom, what was Tom doing last year? Tom was spinning out of his throws, ducking out of his throws. And so what was it? We all blamed it on a knee, right? Remember, it was the knee.
Yeah, we had this,
and we were dissecting the knee. What was it? The Tennessee Titans they played?
He hurt his Achilles on the catch.
You know, so well, that had to be it. And we're it's very typical, and I get it, for people to kind of defend Tom in ways. It's, you know, it has to be something. It can't just be, you know, age. And so it's right now it's the elbow. And the reason we think it's the elbow is because we saw him get hit, but he's also come out after games with ice on his elbow, declaring to everyone, look, this is what's going on.
Which almost seemed kind of anti the TB12 message. Like, you know what I mean? Like I could see how in the past he might have done something to conceal that just to sell his product. I think he's past that now. I think, and also on top of that, I think that he knows that he's proved his point. Like, look, I've played this long. I'm not Superman. The TB12 method still works.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, but look, the proof is in the proof is in the wrap. You know, when he came out with the ice on it, like that was the one time.
Maybe he's weighing it, if it's better to have people think that you're hurt the way he's playing, or if it's better to be all TB12 about it. Maybe that's a mental gymnastics that he's doing.
And it sounds like, or looks like, he made the decision to do the latter. Let the world know, maybe this is why I'm not doing so hot, is that my arm's messed up.
Yeah. You know? I don't know if it's the best business model to hang your hat on this one core philosophy when you play the most violent game to ever be designed is football. And your whole kind of thing is, you know, I don't get hurt because I do... whatever, all stretching. Yeah.
I drink water.
That's crazy.
I take concussion sauce. You can't get concussions when you take this sauce.
Thank God that's in the past, because those outrageous claims were last year. He's moved on from to other outrageous
that's
claims.
That's right. It's only a year, so, well, they still stand. All right, we will be back with more Ted Johnson in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations are red on a green Christmas tree.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson in studio. And
you name this artist?
Is this like Misfits without Danzig?
It is minus Glenn Danzig.
Yeah, so it's the... I don't think Danzig would be behind doing a Christmas song.
A creepy Christmas.
The only thing is that Danzig was on Portlandia, which I thought was pretty funny. And he was on the beach. He still had cool, like, satanic stuff on him.
But... the best thing was that for years, before they made the X-Men movie, there was the rumor that Glenn Danzig's going to be Wolverine.
Oh, yeah. He's the tiniest Wolverine in town. If you know who we're talking about, Glenn Danzig, you can go on YouTube, and there's this great, great video where he's sitting like by his library of books, and he's got his shirt off, and he's like, now this one's a little tasty, evil one. And he's pulling these books out, and he's like acting super cool about like
how into the devil spooked?
He is. Yeah, like how into the devil he is. Like, ooh. All right, Ted Johnson, as the information continues to come out about the tape of the Cincinnati sideline, about the excuse that the excuse was that the scout wasn't there.
It changed. Here's what happened. When it first came out, Schefter was obviously fed something from the Patriots that said there was no filming of the sideline. And then 3 hours later, the Patriots released a statement, obviously after they found out that the Bengals had footage of it that said, yes, we did film the sidelines, but there were the contractors who were part of it trying to make you look the other way and not sure. Think that it was an actual Patriots employee. And then you find out, no, there was an 18-year Kraft Sports Patriots employee who was there during Spygate, who should know better, who was in charge of the entire filming, who said he filmed it. Then he said he took a dump, randomly.
No.
In his statement, said
no,
he took a dump.
It wasn't random. the reason that, because they're like, why is there no shot of the scout? They're like, why is it just this unfiltered, you know, film from the field? Why is there nothing about the scout? And the scout was like, I was in the bathroom.
No.
That's it, isn't it?
No, it's the producer videographer who went to the bathroom. Yeah. And the first part of his statement was that he did indeed film the field. He admits to doing it. He filmed the field and he filmed the sideline. And then that's why him saying he had to use the bathroom is so random, because it's not like story where he was filming the scout, then he went to the bathroom and some rogue guy that they had hired started filming the field. He admitted that he did it in his statement.
No, I know.
And then said, yep, had to take a dump, had the Rhea.
But when they had... Hang on. But the ultimate excuse was that they weren't showing the scout because then he was in the bathroom.
No. The scout didn't.
No?
It's the videographer.
Where does the bathroom play into this?
That's what we're all trying to figure out. It's kind of irrelevant.
It's very confusing.
That's why it was the greatest that he threw that in there, because it had nothing to do with anything.
I was under the impression that they were using it as some kind of excuse.
No, there's no excuse there.
He's just covering his tracks.
And you know what? And Bruschi has been saying what we've been saying, and I don't even want to put words in your mouth. Yeah. So now that you've heard everything, and we talked to you about this last week, but more information's come out.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on all of this?
I remember, and Rich, it was funny because this time last week I asked you, I couldn't figure out if this was a big story or not. And you're like, this is a huge story. I mean, it was
when it's the Patriots, it's a huge story.
And then it became bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, as the week went on. My initial reaction, so I was doing the pregame show on NBC Sports Boston, and when the video came out Jay Glazer released from Fox, he released the video. And so we were sitting there, we're watching it on the set there, and we're trying to form opinions based on just kind of what we were seeing there. And my initial reaction was similar to that of Albert Breer's, which was, it's kind of like if you watch that video, my initial reaction was, if you have a leaning one way or the other, if you think the Patriots are innocent, I could see you making an argument for the Patriots being innocent in the whole thing, and there was an honest mistake. If you're leaning more towards... this is what the Patriots do. Look, they're trying to gain an advantage, and they're using this, excuse as if they're filming, you know, something for their website. Then I could see watching that video and going, well, that's a plausible thing. So it's kind of like wherever you lean, I could see you making an argument either way. the more I think about it, the more I've kind of gathered information, the more you kind of start connecting the dots and you hear all the evidence and things that the Patriots did leading up to it and didn't do. And then there's some of their comments after, and then behavior of the guy in there, in that video that was shot. I go, that's really hard to sit there and say you had no idea that this was an honest mistake. The more evidence kind of mounts up, the fact that you didn't, communicate with the Bengals, you did not communicate with the NFL offices beforehand, before getting permission. That's a red flag. Your initial statement coming out afterwards was there was independent contractors, as if to suggest, these guys didn't know what they were doing. So much circumstantial evidence that supports that the Patriots knew what they were doing. And the one thing that's interesting is that people say you can't connect, football ops with crap productions. Are you kidding me? Why couldn't you? I don't understand how you can't have, if you're talking with a guy who's worked for Kraft Productions for 18 years, he doesn't have, to say that he doesn't can't have a relationship with football ops or somebody in football ops, I think that's a little bit absurd. So The more I think about it, the more it's very difficult to make, I think, defend the Patriots in this situation, considering with the history. And it's an unfortunate, because the thing I said to you guys last week was, what is hard for guys, Teddy, myself, former players, current players don't care or aren't going to comment about it. They're not going to give you their true feelings. But former players will say, I think most of us, and I've talked to guys over the years, it gets tiresome having to defend your championships.
Yeah.
It gets really tiresome to have to, hear guys that you played against, you respect, jokingly sometimes, at least to your face, to talk about your Super Bowls being tainted. It just gets really tiresome to have to do that. And that's the unfortunate thing, because I'm not giving my Super Bowl rings back.
Sure.
I feel like our team's earned it. But when your opponents, people you played against, think that you didn't earn that, that's the most disheartening thing about it. And that's the unfortunate thing. And I think that's why guys like Teddy, gets that upset. It's like, are you kidding me, guys?
Yeah.
Seriously. Like, it's just tough to, continually have to be attached to something that's, something we didn't do, or we had no, hand in, if you will.
Teddy Bruschi made the best point, and it's a point that, I have to be honest, has been consistent with us all week, and that is that even if you believe they weren't trying to cheat or whatever like that, you knew better than to bring a video camera in there and film down there. Like, I mean, somebody knew that you shouldn't have done that. And I keep going to the scout who's sitting right next to him. That guy absolutely knew the rules. And now that we know this guy was working for him for 18 years through Spygate as a videographer, that dude absolutely should have known.
Well, who went to the bathroom?
Would you like to hear the quote? Because it's great. It's better every time I read it.
All right, go ahead.
So this is from the statement of Crappy McGee. This is the videographer, which, by the way, the best is that it was clarified by Pro Football Talk that the Patriots had nothing to do with the statement. And I guess he rogue released this, maybe because if you're him, you don't want to be one of these guys that kind of disappeared, like Jastrzemski, McNally. He wanted to at least get his side of the story out there, which I thought was
but it's interesting, because if he's going rogue and he's trying to get a story out, if he's working in conjunction with somebody from football ops, then he might have, you wonder, is he going to be like, if I lose my job over this, does he come out and say, hey, this is what really, really happened? Is he going to lawyer up? If he loses, I'll be curious to see, because he's suspended right now, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, sure.
If
sure.
he loses his job, I wonder if he's one of these guys that will actually turn on the Patriots if in fact football ops was involved with it.
So we went directly to the press box and set up our camera to get the footage we needed. We interviewed and shot the Patriot scout sitting in a chair watching the action and panned back and forth from him to what he was seeing on the sidelines. We also took footage of the field, as the intent was to show what he was looking at when he looked through his binoculars watching the game. At that point, I went to the restroom. And when I came back, my cameraman was told to stop shooting by someone from the NFL, and he was joined by two others from the Bengals organization. Once again, there was no reason for him to say that he was taking a dump, but he threw that in there anyway.
Maybe he could. I'm telling you, I think that it's to cover up, to take the onus off of himself and say that they were doing it.
Freddie just said, we also took footage of the field.
I understand
that.
The
intent was to show what he was looking at. And then he goes, after that, I went to the restroom, and when I came back,
he knew he was, well, that's evidence enough, is that he was nervous.
Yeah, well, you might be the case.
His stomach was very upset.
He was caught brown-handed.
boy. This show, man. All right, Ted Johnson, we will continue to talk to you. I want to know if they did get this video, and it was for malicious reasons, who it would go to, because it doesn't sound like this is something that goes right to Bill.
Ernie. Always Ernie.
That's what we've...
watching, judging, that's what, analyzing.
That's what we thought. That we always think it's Ernie Adams, and much to the dismay of his friend that emails us. All right, but we've promised this. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the Buffalo Bills this Saturday. Courtesy of Dunkin', this Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin' for DD Perks members. Because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans 2 times the points on any size coffee. So don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. Excludes cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The smoothie's starting to kick in, Rich, so prepare yourself.
So we might have a... an alarm that goes off?
Yeah, that's it. 2 handfuls of spinach in that bad boy. All right, so we will get to the game that's this Sunday.
Because this game, or Saturday rather, which is even better. If you're going to that game, I'm actually jealous.
I'm not.
A Saturday afternoon game. Yeah. Boy, you guys on TV, you broadcast from the ex-Toby Keith, six-string grill now?
Six-string, yep.
This is going to be one of those times where you're going to have to be fending off the wolves behind you.
Really hyped.
Yeah, that it's not Toby
Keith. The Dallas game was crazy.
Oh, sure. And I always love it, too, and you can tell the producers when something's going a little off board and a little nuts is the tight shots on your faces. Yeah. That means we don't want people to see what is happening behind you guys.
Oh,
right. When they're basically up your nose with the camera, that's when you know there's
the
some drunks
screaming at you. We've had a couple games where it's a little bit too much. And you just, you know, the key is... Do not turn around.
Yeah.
Dude, if you make eye contact, you're screwed.
Oh, right. The entire time they're Dad! Dad! Dad!
Oh, yeah. And the hard part is they're looking at you like, come on, man. Like, I came here to see you. No, you didn't. I came here to see you. I mean, come on. You know, just come sight. You know, and like the old line from Bill Parcells is always, sign one, sign them all. Sign one, I got to sign them all. And so it's like if you actually turn, engage, and actually get out of your seat to go sign one, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're screwed. So you feel bad because you can't. But you're working.
So that's the deal.
People don't care, though, sometimes.
All right, so final question on the taping of the crap. If indeed they were doing this on purpose, and if indeed they thought that it would be an advantage to them, in your opinion... Where would the video go? Would Belichick be aware? Would Belichick have his eyes on the video, or would someone just kind of tell him what was going on? What would happen?
Yeah, my feeling is, and I don't know the system that they have in place,
because
there's been a system that's been in place. Maybe they implemented it again. I don't know, but. It would go to Ernie, of course. I mean, that's you Ernie Adams, who it was so funny, guys. My last year it was 2004, and the rookies did a fantastic job of doing. They have these rookie skits, and rookie skits. I don't know if they still do them anymore, but it's always kind of an annual thing. It's a tradition during training camp that the rookies do these skits, and so video was starting to be implemented more and more in the rookie skits the later in my career, which was fantastic. And I'll never forget one of the best skits I've ever seen, where the rookies did an entire skit on Ernie Adams, like, who is this guy? And they would just pan the video to, here he is with those blue blocker glasses and that hat, and just, you know, there's Ernie, and just a whole thing around who is this guy.
Yeah.
And nobody knew what this guy was or did. I mean, we all know now that he's kind of the guy behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of the, I think, you know, it's as far as trying to pick up tendencies and signals and things that can help Bill in pregame, but also in-game you know, decision-making, too, as far as odds and probability and best decisions to make during the game. So my feeling is that that kind of stuff goes to Ernie.
Yeah.
And then Ernie looks at it, breaks it down. And there's files. I think they have files on everybody. Every coach, every team, every, you know, as far as signals and tendencies and things. And so we can, everybody can call in and be like, hey, they don't do hand signals anymore. It's all through the headset. Okay, but there's still something to be gleaned from the behaviors, I guess, the way people act on the sidelines over time. Maybe something reveals itself, a tell, if you will, that can maybe be beneficial to Bill. And so, you know, even though Bill can probably go up there and say, I had no knowledge, this has nothing to do with me, probably 100% true. I mean, not knowledge, but I had nothing to do with it. He probably didn't. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean somebody underneath him maybe didn't have something. And so you and I can look at it and go, what are they getting from this? I don't know. But my feeling is they get something from it, because Bill has said that, you know, he's given the kind of clue that he gets something from the behaviors on the sidelines because of the Sean McVay, you know,
yeah,
video,
yeah,
and the Pete Carroll video,
right,
where he says,
two of the most famous ones.
Where are they? Where is he? What's he doing? So you and I have no idea what he's getting from that information. But he's getting something that's helping him make decisions in games.
So you talked about Brady and how this last game seemed like one of his worst of the season. I believe statistically his worst game of the season might have been that Bills game that they played at the beginning of the year.
You might be right, Rich.
They gave him a tough time throughout the whole one. And so when
they're good.
That defense is
legit.
Awesome. They are. And so, but I guess the one thing that you can kind of hang your hat on if you're the Patriots is that Josh Allen, not great. Mm-hmm. However,
not great.
not great.
He was terrible in that game, too.
Yeah, he was.
Terrible.
He had a streak of about three or four games where he was all right. And that was, what, maybe 2 weeks ago? And
yeah,
then
Dallas game.
Yeah.
He was on fire.
He did well. But I'm not saying that that's who he is. I think we kind of know. Just look at the averages. He's not great.
They're not going to want to turn the... I'm fascinated to see the scheme that Buffalo uses, because on the road at Gillette, you can't we all know, and this is cliche, but you cannot afford to turn the ball over. And I'm fascinated to see. They might let him one read and run. Just you know.
I think running is probably one thing Josh Allen does well that maybe the Patriots have struggled with other quarterbacks.
Yeah. Frank Gore had a good game against them, too.
He did. Well, he absolutely
did. Dude, like, this kid Singletary right now, he's got 700 yards rushing in, like, yeah, I don't know, seven games or whatever.
Well, I'm less worried about that, because I think the Patriots' defense is obviously good. They could probably figure things out, even though, as you said, against the run, it's been tough in a couple games. I'm more worried about how is this Patriots offense going to score against that D. They had a little bit of success with that sweep this week. I thought that was an interesting little wrinkle that they threw in there that we had not seen. N'Keal Harry had two nice. I mean, it was interesting what they had to do to get creative to find some sort of offense. How do you think they're going to approach that D?
Good question. Good question. You got to scheme it up. It's got to be a ton of smoke and mirrors. It really, really does. A lot of the same stuff. I mean, you saw. I mean, that first drive the Patriots had against the Cincinnati Bengals was beautiful. I mean, it was a lot of – it's got to be a ton of smoke and mirrors, a lot of play action, a lot of motioning, a lot of formationing. You know, just you have to really scheme up so many different things, I think, to have – you're going to have to do double passes. You're going to have to do, like, trick plays.
Which they've had success with this year.
Right. That's what you are going to have to do. If you're gonna be able to beat this defense, because this defense is so good, you're not gonna get any junk plays down the field. The Buffalo Bills defense is very good, just like the Patriots defense, at not giving up big plays. And so it's gonna be. I don't see them putting up a lot of points. I don't. They're just so fundamentally sound. They have speed. They have an excellent secondary. They have linebackers and they have D linemen. They can get after the pass. And so they are going to. I think. If you're the Patriots offense, you have to lean on one thing that you are doing fairly well. Now, it's been inconsistent all year. But, Bill, you even heard him after the Cincinnati game talk about the running game. That's the one thing you have to lean on is the running game. You have to try and find ways to get Rex Burkhead involved.
Absolutely.
You know, in the running game.
Yep.
And so you saw glimpses that maybe this offensive line is starting to figure out. So lean on that. With play action and a lot of scheme runs, I think, to the outside, if you will, because that's where they've had a lot of success is running to the outside. You could do a lot more scheme runs to the outside, to the edges. And so that's where maybe you're gonna get your advantage. And then you're gonna have to be able to convert on third down. I mean, the Patriots have struggled in the red zone in third down. And that's you hope that maybe N'Keal Harry, you saw that third down and third and goal situation where Tom threw to N'Keal Harry had a great catch. You need another red zone weapon. You hope N'Keal Harry can maybe be that, but it's going to be very difficult to put points up.
Rock fight.
Oh, an absolute rock fight. Yeah. So, if they were able to score more than 20 points, I'd be really, really surprised. So that means that the Patriots defense has to go out there and ball.
I just think that this is going to be one of those games where the defense is going to be responsible for more points in the offense, and that, turnovers, giving them short yardage and things like that.
Which is crazy to expect that week in, week out.
I know, but
they keep doing it.
But this is the perfect example. Allen. You have a bad quarterback that's going to cause turnovers, and I think this is a game that if Tom Brady and the rest of his guys just don't turn the ball over, I think that they win this game.
It's funny. I mean, that is seriously, their formula is elite defense, special teams.
Yep. And don't turn the ball over on offense.
And playing a clean game.
Yep.
That's it. Play a clean game.
You can win that way.
That you can win. I don't know if you can win
against an explosive offense like the Ravens or something.
I don't think you can win in the playoffs. You can maybe win a game in the playoffs with that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can win the AFC Championship game. And I don't think you can win a Super Bowl.
Well, they've struggled against elite quarterbacks. I mean, have they beaten an elite quarterback?
Dak Prescott. But that was in the rain, too.
It was in the rain.
Yeah, it was in the rain.
They could have beaten the Chiefs, I think. I think if they get him again at home in the playoffs, they could probably beat him.
Yeah, I mean, sure. That was the N'Keal Harry negated touchdown that didn't happen. Yeah.
4 points.
Well, there was also the pick six that could have happened.
The refs.
That's
remember?
True.
That was that was negated.
Six. It was a fumble, and that happens in the NFL all the time.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Scoop and score, not a pick six.
It was a scoop and score. And they blow a ball dead. The ball's blown dead.
Should have been blown dead.
My only question
is. That happens in every game.
This Tre'Davious White kid is just as good as Stephon Gilmore, if you ask me. Does he take away Julian Edelman? And is Edelman healthy enough to perform at this point?
I'm worried. Have you seen that connection be so not on the same page as much as they were last week? So I am worried. I am worried that, the entire offense, the only thing they have really going for them, truly in the passing game, is Julian Edelman. It's with any real consistency. So, yeah, if they're able to take Julian Edelman out of this game, oh, my goodness. And they do everything they can to get him free with all the different schemes they come up with to get him free. But if they have an answer for Julian Edelman, you know what? And you look at that Texas, the Texans game film, That's what you do. You double team Julian Edelman where? Third down, red zone.
Yep.
And if you do that, you take him out of the game, the Patriots are going to struggle to put up any points.
Yep. And they've targeted him the second most of any player in the league.
And he's definitely hurt. I mean, you can just tell. I mean, it's this past game, there was a couple of plays where you saw him limping afterwards, and it's just
so he limped after Brady nailed him in the leg.
But you know what's interesting about that, guys? We talked about this in the post game. Why was he playing? If he's injured at all, and you're playing the Cincinnati Bengals,
I think they need him.
Is that what it is, Joe?
Decoy.
I mean, are they a decoy?
Yeah.
Are they?
It's the reason why Gronk played a lot when he was injured, just to be a decoy.
Because Cincinnati's as bad as Cincinnati is, their defense had started to play better, and then they just need him.
But think about how far we've come. You think about week two. What was the feeling about this team week two of the season?
Thought they were going to go
too many
19-0. I'm sitting there going 19-0. This team, you run the table. And now you think you have to play an injured Julian Edelman to beat the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yep. That Cincinnati's D had been playing better. You saw how they got to Brady, and they figured that
till you see Jerry Hughes this week on Isaiah Wynn. It's going to be a bad matchup.
Yeah.
And Marcus Cannon. I saw you guys do that breakdown with Phil Perry. He stinks.
Marcus Cannon.
Yeah. And if Brady can't get rid of the ball quickly, which has been a problem this season, Hachi Machi. He's gonna in the cold. He ain't gonna like that. That's not gonna be. I'm glad I'm not Tom Brady this weekend.
But this is the kind of game though that Belichick loves, right?
Oh, yeah.
Short week.
Yeah.
Better coaching.
He doesn't. Yeah. He's gonna out coach
at home.
They're at home. He doesn't need Brady to play well, which seems to give him an erection now. So we'll have all that going on. All right. We'll be back with a little bit more Ted, and then We have a little something called Bird Reviews, the new Star Wars movie.
Spoiler free.
Oh, there's spoilers, baby. Don't worry about it. All right, we'll be right back.
Tucker and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So when it comes.
The Sports Hub, we're Tucker and Rich, finishing up with Ted Johnson so we can get to the big review of the new Star Wars movie that's everyone got everyone going bonkers. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you get the Rotten Tomatoes?
60% it is at now, but that's just, there's a spattering of reviews, not all of them yet.
When's the Sandler movie come out?
It's out in some markets. Does it come out here, I think, this weekend? I'll have to take a look. But
well, they're going up against the Star Wars.
Well, it's also going up against Cats, which we should send James Stewart to go see the screening of.
The new Adam Sandler movie is getting great reviews.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's supposedly awesome.
I got to be honest. I'm shocked. I'm shocked that he had this kind of role in him. If he's getting, you know, this kind of, you know, love for how well he did. It surprised me. I just didn't know he had that. What do you call it? That kind of range.
Sure. Great story that came out yesterday about, you know, Kevin Garnett is in it. And I guess this takes place in 2012.
And they used real games.
Yeah, they used the real games, and it was during the Eastern Conference. Remember when the Celtics were up 3-2 over LeBron James, and it looked like, and Kevin Garnett was talking all that trash, and it looked like the Celtics were going to move on to the finals once again. And, of course, there was the Game 6, the one that turned LeBron James into LeBron James, where he did the backbreaker thing. It was one of the best performances I've seen from a basketball player. And I mean, it was unreal what he did, and I hated him for it. But it's set during that time, and I guess the Adam Sandler character puts like a ton of money on it and gets in trouble. But Rajon Rondo was supposed to be in this movie with Kevin Garnett, but Rajon missed his 6 a.m. flight to go to film the movie, and his quote was that, so it was either I pay $95,000 for a private plane to go do it, or I just blow it off. So I blew it off, and now he's pissed because he's seeing that it's like getting all this like critical acclaim and stuff.
I would be so mad at myself. For yeah. That.
Oh sure.
I would not be a part of a project that's going to get that kind of recognition. It's a bummer, man.
And I guess KG's getting really good reviews too. I guess he's excellent in it.
I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
KG was in a ton of scenes.
He's a main player in the movie.
Yeah. He's like. Probably like the 6th main player in the movie.
Interesting.
But it was funny. I'm kind of obsessed with this movie. I saw an interview, and it'd be interesting because they are real NBA games. Like the NBA gave them permission to use these games, which I get shocked everyone.
Yeah.
But like if you know what happened in the game, I guess it's not as cool. Because, like, the drama, but Sandler said that he's obsessed with basketball and he couldn't remember any of these things.
Oh, sure, sure.
So, if you see the movie and you're truly, truly a basketball savant, it might
Have you ever been in the movie, Ted? I auditioned for a movie.
The Game Plan. Were you not in that? Because that was filmed during your time, right?
I auditioned for that.
Okay.
I auditioned for that. I was going to play the role of one of The Rock's best friends, a fullback actually. Uh-huh. And they asked me, and I came in there. There was a studio here where I went to do the audition, and there was 30 guys in the room, and we're this long hall. And I went in and I did my lines and I kind of changed them a little bit and they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the call back.
Nice.
I went back and there was me and another guy and the director from Disney was in there this time. I did the lines. I did my lines. They called me and they said, we want you in the movie. We're going to put you in a different role. We liked what you did. We're going to put you in a different role. And we just want you to come out basically. Come out every day to the set. We'll fit you in. And basically, it was like $1,000 a day just to show up. Unfortunately, it was at the kind of height of my personal issues.
Okay.
And I could not commit to it. And that's a bummer. I would have loved that experience. Then when you see the movie game plan, part of me is like, I don't know, I'm too bummed. Because it turned out to be that the best, right? The best, one of The Rock's best movies, right?
I was just thinking that they probably said, sorry, Ted, I just can't buy you as a football player. Sorry. It's just you don't quite fit the bill. Right, you know, right. Neil Patrick Harris, put the suit on. Grab a helmet.
They had Harvey Fierstein, actually. Oh, this game plan is awful.
It was, but the experience just auditioning for a Disney movie, it was a lot of fun. Getting the call back and then them saying, you know, they wanted me in there. Unfortunately, I just couldn't get out of bed like I needed to, unfortunately.
Mm. All right. Well, Ted Johnson has been brought to you this morning by Boston Prolotherapy. What Ted did and receive a short course of injections to help repair painful damaged joints without surgery. Online at bostonprolotherapy.com. No commercials here, just the headlines. When we get back, we will hear Bird review, and I guess Nick is a little bit of a star in this too. Bird review the last of these Star Wars movies.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.